Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast by Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we hang out and talk, and I don't know. I hope you like it.
Oh, I think I grabbed the wrong intro music. It's okay.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Oh, hey, everybody. I'm Travis.
Hey, everybody. I'm a Brandon. You know what?
I'm a Brandon.
There's a intro it's outro a music Brandon. That the extended cut that I had created, and then that's the one I need to use. I'll pull that in later. Yeah. Hey.
We'll talk about your new toy here in a second.
Welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm. I am Brandon. Over there is
I'm still Travis.
My pal and cohort Travis. And this is a show in which we talk about just about everything. It started from humble beginnings and it stayed there. And then we did other shows that were far more popular.
We're still humble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stay humble. Welcome. If you're here for the first time, thanks for showing up. Thanks for being here. This is Apathetic Enthusiasm. We're just going to chat tonight. We're going to talk about a week and stuff. And Brandon apparently is going to eat a spoon while we do so. If you're new to this show, you can follow us on all the social platforms. We're over on Twitter at Apathusiast. I'm at Jugglemino. He's at Barnyard Cruise. Follow us on Facebook.com/Apathetic Enthusiasm Show. Send us an email with your thoughts at apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Apathetic_enthusiasm, that's the Instagram. And you can find our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com, where we keep content for all of our stuff. Big shout out to the folks over at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Continue to support our endeavors. If you want to see the latest in Brandon's musical combinations, I don't know. He's recording all kinds of music and recording all the different parts and putting it up on video. Yeah. You can find those over on our Patreon. They're pretty cool. I'd love to get my hands on that video and try to edit one of them for you.
We could talk about that. Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Last couple of things. We are streaming live right now at twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. Appreciate everybody joining for the stream. Join the conversation. Be part of the show. Finally, if you miss the stream, you can catch video versions over at YouTube, youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. It's been a week. Lot to talk about. Lots to discuss. Since we released our last podcast.
Yeah.
Let's talk. What you want to start with that? You want to?
Yeah, let's start with semi pertinent.
Semi pertinent news.
We're changing the structure of the show.
If you're an interdimensional RSS listener, then you know that we recorded in a very special episode of Interdimensional RSS. We recorded an episode where we talked all about the accusations against Justin Roiland. We talked about the criminal investigation for domestic violence charges. We talked about all of that stuff. It was spoken. We recorded it on a Monday night where... It was about 2 weeks after the news first broke, and we just had a conversation about where our podcast might be going, where the show Rick and Morty might be going, and then wouldn't you know it, Brandon edits that video and releases it not like 4 hours later. There's an official announcement from Adult Swim that Rick and Morty had cut their ties with Justin Roiland, officially moving away. He would no longer be part of the show, but that season 7 was still coming out and the show would continue. Brandon very quickly recorded a little blurb for that podcast to, sort of make an update for it. But yeah, this is the first time really that we've talked about any of that. And if you don't care about Justin Roiland, if you don't care about any of this stuff, I don't think we'll get too into detail with it, but it has been interesting to see all of the dominoes fall in this situation. Adult Swim came out very quickly after that. Squanch Games, which is the game studio that Justin Roiland helped found and create, they parted ways with Roiland as well. I think a day later, Hulu also came out with a statement, I think.
Yeah, that's accurate. Go ahead, you know, for the Solar Opposites thing.
Yeah.
This is our first AE episode back from all of that. So all of that stuff is going on over on the Rick and Morty side. That whole episode we're talking about, like, you know, we were kind of doom saying, it felt doom saying, it felt like it could be like, you know, one of our very, very last episodes of that show.
It did. It did. And like, I even said it, I think after we got done recording, how I kind of felt emotional about it because we've done so much with that show. We've built a pretty, pretty amazing, audience that supports us and appreciates the content that we've put out and gotten to interact with a lot of fans. And so, yeah, it was really hard to kind of record that episode with the idea that it might be the last interdimensional RSS, depending on where Rick and Morty went in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Along with that, because we didn't know what was going on with the Rick and Morty stuff, you know, we had to start thinking about, okay, well, neither of us wants to stop podcasting. That's not what we want to do. No. How do we stick with podcasting, kind of stick with, you know, the listeners who've been listening to about Rick and Morty stuff, seeing where we can kind of pivot, to use the buzzword for that. Like, I feel pivot. So Travis and I are like, we're pretty heavy into like developing a new show, which is pretty, pretty exciting, right? Like it's the excitement of discovery and
a fun new project,
building something new,
all of the creative juices flowing and building that out. Yeah. What's great
about it is it's that, like, when we did AE, we half-assed it.
The show you're listening to now.
We started this show. We're like, yeah, let's podcast. Let's just do it. Humble beginnings, shitty microphones, shitty computers, shitty recordings. It hasn't changed, but, you know, like,
not much has changed.
And then I started doing Submitted for Your Approval. That got going, and then like put a little bit more effort into developing it, but it's still like a very like, okay, I came up with it. Now I'm going to get started and do it right away. Like there wasn't a whole lot of planning with that either. Rick and Morty, Interdimensional RSS, same thing, right? Like we're like, we need a Rick and Morty podcast. Let's do it together. And if we had some planning, but it still felt like, let's get this out there before the new season comes out.
We spent more time, I think, with each of those shows, we spent more time in a planning phase, but we were still very much our motto in those times was pen to paper, just make something, get it out there. And I think that's true for a lot of creative endeavors. You see those things shared. I mean, my algorithm shows me these things shared across social media all the time where it's like, your first podcast is going to suck. Your first, you know, song that you write is going to suck. Your first book is going to suck, whatever, but just start writing, start making it, right? Because you can talk about it, you can dream about it for so long, but if you don't start making it, you're not going to get better. And I think this show is a testament to that, right? We just started making a podcast. We didn't know what we didn't know, and we didn't know how to make it better until we really started making them. And then with Submitted for Your Approval, you built more of a format to that. You had a structure to how you were introducing episodes. You had a theme. And then I think that bled over into how we developed Interdimensional RSS to where now we're looking at building a brand new show, a brand new podcast, 7-ish years into our history as as podcasters. And I think we're much more intentional about what we want the show to be, the audience that we want to reach. And it's taking longer for us to be like, okay, let's just record an episode. But I think the quality of those episodes, the focus of those, of that show, and also I think for a selfish benefit, the production schedule and flexibility on how we're going to develop that show, I think is going to help us in the long run to be able to turn out hopefully a quality product to the people that listen to it.
Yeah.
In a reasonable schedule.
I keyed into intentional. That's a great key word there. Intentional and deliberate. How this feels different, us developing the new show is different, is I'm a little bit older. I mean, you know how I am. I get ants in my pants and I'm like, let's just do it now. Right. Like, I just like, planned impulse is what I've always kind of lived by. Like plan. Let's just do it right now. Right.
Yeah.
And, maybe because I'm like in middle of a career change too, where I'm like, okay, you know, I can use this as an opportunity to build some other skills and some planning skills and use them in a way, to say, yeah, I've learned these other skills. Now let me actually put them into action. And like, we're looking at the development in a much more structured way. Like, we had a Trello board, you know, we had like, we tried doing that and we're like, okay, yeah, let's do set up our social media and stuff. But like, now we have a whiteboard that like has these, the DNA of Travis, the DNA of Brandon, like in a weird hotel room with a black light. It's disgusting. But it like, there's like, our brains are coming together in like in a much, I don't know, different. It feels different this time around.
It does. And I think also, and I mean, we're being really transparent here, for, you know, both of you that are listening. Yeah. It's like, we have never been podcasters for the money. That's certainly never been the case. But as Interdimensional RSS has developed, we are starting to see very early indications of how we could successfully build a show that has some monetary value as well. And if we are going to explore that with any other show, I want it to be a quality product that people enjoy and want to continue to listen to. And so if we pair that with advertising or any other things that we do in that space, then I don't want it to be something where it's just like a throwaway. Like, it's easy to be very flippant with a show when there's little risk or little, I don't know. And again, this is not going to be like our livelihoods. We're not putting all our eggs into a podcasting basket. You may have more eggs in it than I do for a little while anyway. It's something I think we just enjoy the creative process and collaborating. And so, I'm excited for what this show becomes. And I would keep saying this show because we haven't even come up with a title for it yet.
The show. There's another part of, like, you know, I've said it on Interdimensional RSS a couple times openly. Like, I didn't want to talk about Rick and Morty forever and ever and ever. I wanted to eventually move on to different things. And part of that is like, it becomes riskier to try different things and alienating the audience that you have come to have join you us on a journey. So like, even like we moved hosts, we were on Blueberry and we moved over to Red Circle. And part of that was because they could do it was cheaper. We could have more shows, and also the dynamic ad insertion. So if you're listening to this podcast, you if you're, you know, downloaded on your podcast app, you'll probably have heard some ads at the beginning, maybe here in the middle, maybe at the end. And that's like, you know, when that has not been there on interdimensional RSS or this one for forever. For it was risky for me. Like it was in my head. I was like, ah, man, I hope that doesn't alienate or like piss people off. If you're listening to podcasts, I'm sure you're used to it. But I was thinking about it like, yeah, but that's not the norm. We had built in the different segments within intermersal RSS, and we always had the idea like we can put kind of ad breaks in between those sections. But you know, it's not what we're used to. I think with this new show, one of my intents is to like also you know, format it with kind of advertisements or host read type pieces built in already, right? Like, and so if that's advertising for one of our other shows on the network, or you know, one of our friends' podcasts, or you know, whatever it is ends up being, or even because Red Circle has dynamically like placed ads, I can say, okay, at the 14 minute 10 second mark, we can put an advertisement here, and then that matches up. So anyways, again, intentional and deliberate. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's nerds. One of the things we've been focusing on. We've been charging down that rabbit hole. And again, I don't want to say we were running away from the Rick and Morty content. But we're definitely straying from it. The news about Roiland kind of being separated from the show, it did, like, and we talked about it on that podcast. It's hard to separate Justin Roiland from the show. It's not the same as just saying, oh, they're going to recast the voices and every, you know, like so much of who like Justin Roiland is has gone into the development of the show, and his name is never really going to come off of Rick and Morty as a creator, right? Like he's always going to kind of have that title. But by virtue of having a podcast that focuses on Rick and Morty, we have built relationships. We have built communication with people that work closely with the show, people that work on the show. And there were conversations that took place over the last week with people that work that are currently working on season 7 right now. Right. And for me, it affected my perspective about the future of interdimensional RSS and supporting what has always been the intent of that podcast, which is supporting the creators and all creative people that work on that show and put their blood, sweat, and tears into making Rick and Morty possible. So yeah, I think I had a little bit of a change of perspective. Is like, yeah, we don't have to completely cut off interdimensional RSS and never make it again. Maybe we adjust how much time we spend on that show or how much we invest in it. But it's still like we can still celebrate the work of the people that are still a part of that show.
Yeah. Because those conversations, I'm right there with you. Like it changed the perspective after having the conversation of somebody's working on the show currently and saying, you know, all this shit that's going on, you know, it's in the end, it's our show because we put our hearts into it. It's your show as fans of it. And, you know, like we always tried to be the positive voices among many positive voices of the fan community. We weren't cringy. We weren't saying women suck, women writers suck. You know, we weren't taking part in any of that. We were always trying to say like, hey, there's some great people out there doing amazing things, fans doing amazing things, the artists, the writers, the directors, the musicians, Elder, they're all doing such great things and let's celebrate them. And you know, the people who are still working on the show, they're going to keep putting their hearts into it. And I think that, you know, we are going to continue celebrating them and being there as positive voices in the community. Soma, so much so we can help it.
Yeah. Yeah. So what does that mean for Apathetic Enthusiasm as a podcast network?
It quits.
It's over. We're done. Folding it up. We'll probably add another show. We'll add an animation history podcast as soon as we can figure out all the details to it. So that is on its way. And we, based on Rick and Morty's production schedule, we'll probably have plenty of time to produce that show, because there's like year long gaps between seasons. So, we're still going to make interdimensional RSS, as needed. Right.
I found out what this episode of Apathetic Enthusiasm is about. It's just about like coming back from a break, what's going to happen? Like, what are we kind of up to now with a network? So I'm in my world today was like, it's one more month till I'm out of the military. No more.
Look at you.
No more. No more military. Retiring after 22 years. And what that means is I have a lot of free time for creative endeavors. And one of those creative endeavors is the resurgence of Submitter for Your Approval. So you have your assignment, Travis. Matt has his assignment, and so he's going to record with me on Friday. Another Matt Hurt, who has his anthology podcast, he started way behind me in the Twilight Zone stuff. And because the last time I recorded was in December of 2020, he is now past me. And so I have to catch back up to him. But he's going to be on one of the shows. He's already talked to me about that. I passed a pandemic. I didn't record at all during a pandemic. I skipped the entire reboot of the Twilight Zone. And so I'm like, I guess it's time to come back to it.
Sure.
I'm not burnt out anymore. It's fine.
Yeah, I think that'll be good. Let's get back into it. I love that project for you, right? but I'm loosely involved with it. I outside of a few images and a couple times that I'm on it, I'm just glad it exists. I'm just glad it exists as a podcast.
You know what's interesting about S4YA was like when we started this show, AE, and we had a fair amount of listeners. I think we get, you know, like maybe 100 downloads per episode now, right?
Ebbs and flows.
When the Twilight Zone podcast came out, Submitter for Your Approval, like that one, there weren't a lot of Twilight Zone podcasts out there. There's maybe like just just two or three main ones. Some of them are still around actually, but like that, those episodes like jumped up to like 500, 1,000 downloads per episode. And like, that was like, whoa. Like, and so there was growth there. Then Rick and Morty came out and that like tripled right away. So I'm like, I'll focus creative efforts there.
Sure.
But you know, that's when we cared more about numbers. And so it's good to come back to do that.
To this show,
to do
where we don't care about numbers.
We don't care.
We just care about you. If this is entering your ear holes right now,
Bob Carroll.
This is for you. This is for you, Bob.
Bob Carroll.
He may not even listen.
He
may be too focused on the Eagles and the Super Bowl.
He downloads it all, like six times on 70 devices. That's where all our downloads come from.
That's the commitment. It's just Bob that we're talking.
So then on creative endeavors, we talk about the Patreon stuff. So one of the things I want to do, it's part of a forming a habit, right? I think things like it's on random, doing kind of like my storytelling playlist podcast, mini podcast, whatever it was, like that was cool. I enjoyed doing that, but I didn't make it a habit. I want to make posting things on Patreon more of a habit. So I can feel better about the folks who've been supporting us for all this time. Yeah. And so, so one of those habit building pieces is, a couple weeks back, I got I've always been fascinated with, I mean, I'm a musician, play guitar, bass, drums, you know, half-assed, but, you know, well enough to come together for music. I love the idea of all these different instruments coming together and then forming a song, right? And I'm also fascinated about recording things and how those things come together to form a song, and like the mixing and the panning and, you know, the mastering and reverb and compression and all that audio stuff. And because I know how to do all of it at a little deeper than surface level, I like coming together and putting it together. So the part that I'm adding on to it now is I got a wild hair. I'm like, let's figure out a way where I can record myself on video doing that. And so then, you know, putting together the different videos with the sound from the video and then mixing them that way. And so, you know, that's what I've been posting on Patreon. I posted one song. I don't know if I posted the other one. I didn't post the other one yet. That'll be this Friday. And then there'll be another one next week. And so the thought I have is kind of keep doing that, but maybe like break it down a little bit further and maybe just do like a clip of the guitar for 1 week, a clip of the drums the next week, and then, you know, take a little bloggy type thing and then bring them together at the end of the month.
No.
So yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing with that. I like, and it'll keep me going with writing music and maybe get me back into actually writing songs. I'm probably overdue to write a new song, but
yeah, you are. You should write one about our friendiversary on Facebook.
That is today, January 31st.
Talking about our Patreon, super appreciative of the people that are on there that continue to support us. Even when we release an episode saying we may be taking a hiatus from a show, you know, we had a boost in one of our donations. So it was one of those things where it's like, oh, that's the opposite of what I was expecting to have happen. We do want to appreciate those folks and come up with some new ways to show that appreciation. I think we've got a couple ideas kicking around for the animation show as well. Mm-hmm. That I think could be fun.
I thought about this today because I was putting some stuff on the whiteboard, just in my personal whiteboard. Is also like, we could also do like a mini developer blog for how we're developing that show and kind of give them the behind the scenes of like, oh, that's what they're talking about, what they're actually.
I like that. Yeah, we should start sharing some of that on the Patreon. Yeah. So there you go. If you're not a patron and you want to know all the deets on the new project, we'll start posting it on Patreon. Cool. All right. Anything else network wise we want to talk about? I mean, there's some shows that are out right now that we could discuss a little bit. We could talk about that whole DC thing that you didn't watch. That's probably not a good call, seeing as you didn't actually watch it.
Swamp Thing is coming to the DCU.
It's gonna be supposed to be a horror film.
Hell yeah. That's fucking Swamp Thing, man.
So here's what I'll say about the DC stuff.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
James Gunn, I trust his intent with building a cinematic universe, right? I think he spent enough time doing Guardians, being a part of the MCU, to have a good grip on like some things that are important. He talks about in the video that storytelling is on the forefront of this, right? So all of the DC content that is going to be coming out is going to be part of this DCU unless it is just given a special tag. I think it's like called Other Worlds or Outer Worlds or something like that. So if it's Teen Titans Go or some different video games and different stuff, like that stuff does not necessarily play into this DCU. But everything else, HBO Max series, some animated series that they have intentions on having the actors that play live action versions of the characters also voice acting some animated characters, which I think is really interesting and a cool way to cross that over. But yeah, his declaration, if you will, that storytelling is at the forefront of these. He wants each show or movie to still embrace a director's vision and give them, I don't know, sort of the autonomy to make the film that they want to make, but interconnect those stories and coming at it with a plan. They're doing a full reset with starting Shazam kind of links into it, the new Shazam movie. And then the Flash movie is what he called the reset of the DCU. I'm excited about it. I have not been super hyped on DC for a long, long time, but I gotta say James Gunn being the Kevin Feige of the DCU, like, I don't know. I am optimistic about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the thing that the two best things that came out of DC in the recent years are Peacemaker and Suicide Squad, right? Like those are two best things in recent. I did like Shazam. I saw Black Adam at the VA.
I did not watch Black
Adam. A pirated version of it playing in the VA office. But anyway, so like I watched a little bit, and I was like, oh, this isn't very good. Although Dr. Fate was in there, and that's awesome. But you know, like he's knowledgeable of characters. Like the fact that they're gonna have a Booster Gold is
a Booster Gold HBO Max series.
Yeah, the fact that they're gonna have that is cool. I didn't see, was Blue Beetle on there? Are they still coming out with a Blue Beetle?
So yeah, I think. So he spoke to them without, like, he basically said, you've got Shazam coming out, Flash, and then they go to Blue Beetle. And then he started talking about some future projects that are sort of in production or in planning stages, but aren't actually being developed.
Okay. The stories that I knew of Booster Gold, like him and Blue Beetle, or the old Blue Beetle, not the newer guy. So that's cool. And Swamp Thing, like I haven't had a good Frank.
We're gonna get a reset on Superman, a reset on Batman again. Mm-hmm. I am very interested in. There is a Lanterns series coming out, and. He says it's going to be terrestrial, so mostly like on Earth, but he almost like referred to it as like a True Detective kind of show, but with these lanterns or something. I don't know, maybe they could do Green Lantern justice in cinematic form. We'll see.
Maybe.
I don't know. Like
I did watch season 3 of True Detective, by the way. That reminds me. I binged it. I'm retiring. I've got time.
There's time now.
It was a pretty good season. Anyways.
5 long years saying hesitantly optimistic. Yeah, there's still some hesitance, yeah. Right? It's still DC.
They still
have the capacity to completely screw this up.
And you're still going to have all them Snyder Bros coming at you. That's the craziest thing to me, right? It's like people are like, Gunn's killing the DC. Bring back Snyder. Like, his movies are all right, but I don't understand why anybody would be so adamant for a creator who is talented in his own right, but not like super talented. What's interesting is Like, I go back to the Dawn of the Dead remake, which was written by Gunn and directed by Snyder. And, like, I love the Dawn of the Dead remake. Like, one of my favorite remakes of all time. And I'm like, is it the writing or is it or was it the directing? It's tough to say. But then again, Gunn also did Scooby-Doo, which I do like. I do like Scooby-Doo.
They're not all winners.
I do like it.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's interesting. It caught me completely off guard. I just happened upon the video today and I was like, oh, I didn't realize any of this was happening. Just because the direction the DCU was going in for so long, I was just like, I was turned off. I was not interested. And mind you, I think I'm more familiar with some Marvel characters than DC in general. But
this is why I prefer Gunn to Snyder in this arena, right? If we're talking about visuals, then I have to give it to Snyder. I think from a visual perspective, I think he has interesting things he wants to say visually. Like Sucker Punch is a shitty movie. I hate it, but it's got some interesting visuals. It has some very interesting visuals. Like Guardians of the Galaxy, as much as I love Guardians of the Galaxy, visually speaking, I'm not like, whoa, yeah, oh, I love watching this. But story-wise, way, way better. And so when we're talking about the creation of a DC universe, and you need to have all of these interconnected pieces, and you need to tell a story, an overarching story, then you want to have a storyteller at the head of it. You don't want to have the visual guy running it. And so I think that's why, as talented as he is visually, Snyder wasn't the right guy for it. Killing off Superman in the second movie, you know, like too soon. Too soon, yes, literally too soon.
Yep. So I don't know. That's all I'll say about all that. I think it'll be interesting.
Let's talk more about it.
Well, I'm excited. DC reboot by Jerry Bruckheimer. Thanks. let's transition to the other cinematic universe.
Okay.
The Last of Us cinematic universe. The Naughty Dog cinematic universe, as it were. That's the game studio, right? Did I get it right?
Naughty Dog is a game studio.
Did they make The Last of Us?
I think so.
Only the internet was nearby.
I think they. Which universe were you talking about?
I was gonna get a hype check for Quantumania.
Oh. Man, you know, I want to be more excited about that movie. But I'm not. I'm not that excited about it.
Naughty Dog made The Last of Us in 2013.
I don't know if it's just like it's so much in the quantum realm that I'm like worried that it's gonna look cheesy for 2 hours.
Okay.
So little bit concerning in that way. I'm interested to see how much of a badass Kang is, and like what he's wanting from Scott. And how that ties into eventually the Kang Dynasty and all the other stuff that's happening in MCU. But as far as being excited about it, I don't know. I need more ants, man.
Where's Antony? I feel the same way. Like Ant-Man and Paul Rudd, some of my favorite stuff in the MCU, right? Sheena had not watched either Ant-Man films, probably because I went and saw the first one with you, and I may have seen the second one with you. I don't know, or who I went and saw it with, but Yeah, so we watched both Ant-Man films, and I made her watch the fight scene from Civil War and then the opening bit from Endgame when he comes out of the quantum realm to discover, you know, post-snap, everything that had happened. I made my own sizzle reel of Paul Rudd is what I did, I think. a 3-hour sizzle reel.
Why are there clips from Halloween 6 and Clueless in this?
Is that Mac and Me? Why are we watching him eat cauliflower on Hot Ones right now?
I hope that in Quantumania it starts like this. It's like the MCU, and then the snap, and then it goes straight into Mac and Me.
No, I want is the Marvel Studios opening where the letters like shift down and you see on the sides of the letters all the clips of all the heroes, but I want it all just clips of tight shots of all of the ants from the previous movies. So just like the carpenter ants and the bullet ants and stuff and Anthony flying around, and that's all you get.
Gosh.
Yeah.
They don't get enough credit, those ants.
They don't. They're pivotal to the story.
They are.
I don't know. We get some loveness, right? Gonna see what he can do with it. It's very interesting to me that they are movie-wise kicking off the big bad long story arc of this whole Kang dynasty that is going to be central to two Avengers movies further down the line, and it's happening in an Ant-Man movie. Like that's the big hero that's sort of ushering in. I mean, obviously first introduced in the Loki series, but
yeah well, he was,
I don't know, I just not, I found that
Kang in the Loki series. He's that person, but a variant, but that's not Kang the Conqueror.
Yeah.
And so, sure. It's a small thing, but you gotta note it because there's many different versions of the character of Kang out there.
I do want to rewatch Loki, I think, before I go see the movie though.
There was a thought I had on the Kang. Oh, the introduction of him so early. I think it's an interesting shift in narrative direction, whereas like with the Avengers and the Infinity Stone, the Infinity Saga, it was like he was behind the scenes. Thanos is like kind of, you know, in the shadows, and we don't see him doing a lot of stuff until, you know, towards the end of the until the end, right? And this one, we're like, this is who we're going to be focusing on in this next phase. And so this is the person that you need to keep your eye on. And like, what else is he going to be in? I think Loki season 2, maybe he'll be in that, you know, like.
I mean, who knows? It's interesting because we first see Thanos in the MCU in the post-credit scene of the first Avengers movie. Mm-hmm. Like that's where they're like, Thanos is here. Thanos is going to be a thing. Right. And if you think about the first phase of the MCU leading up to the first Avengers movie, it was more about who those Avengers were and introducing Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Hulk, mm-hmm. and then how they come together to fight together. And then you get all these movies that are, again, about those characters and things, but the thing they're fighting over ends up being these Infinity Stones. And I think viewers are introduced to the Infinity Stones, not necessarily even knowing what they are, why they're important, unless they're already a comic fan that knows why that blue rock and that red floaty stuff are important and how they work together. Right. So in the same way, I would kind of credit the creative team behind all of this madness at introducing the concept of the multiverse over the last phase, mm-hmm. is sort of like, that's sort of been our introduction to this arc's Infinity Stones, right? Like instead of seeing all these different rocks and them all being kind of collected together, you have everything that happened in the Loki series. You have the Spider-Man Multiverse of Madness, right? You've got even just how they worked with time in Endgame.
I
think those have sort of been our introductions into this, and then
that was the critique. That was the critique of this last phase, was like, what's going on? Is anything going to happen? And that was my retort is, yeah, shit is happening. Like, they're just like phase one, where they're introducing concepts and they're introducing characters. Like, they're doing some setup for the next phase. They have to do some narrative setup so that people come in and they understand generally what's going on. If you introduce like the idea of a multiverse out of nowhere, then people are like, well, that doesn't jibe with what we saw in Endgame, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
So there has to be that connective tissue. Having said that, I mean,
Thanos was prominently featured in MCU films leading up to Infinity War and Endgame. I mean, he
prominently featured. Was he a main?
Yeah, in Guardians, he's in it a ton. Right. And as we get introduced to Gamora and see that relationship and how that works, and then he's in there quite a bit, I feel.
I mean, I don't feel like he's in there quite a bit in the Guardians movies. Like being the Emperor in the background and like just appearing in a hologram and telling what's his face with a hammer. Like, don't fail me again. And then going back into another and then disappearing, like ending the message, like that's not like prominently featuring him. And like the stuff, the behind the scenes with.
Maybe I misremember that film, but I feel like he was much more involved than.
I don't know. And like the history with Gamora, like that was
Infinity War.
Yeah. Yeah. So like that's not a Guardians specific thing either. And like Guardians 2, none of that, because it's all about ego. I know they talk about him a lot because of Gamora and her sister, but like he's not in it that much from my recollection.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. And 5 long years agrees with you. So 2-1.
Yeah. All right.
Either way. We're getting a movie. We're getting an Ant-Man movie in a couple of weeks. I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it too.
And then we'll see how it goes. Let's wrap up our time here talking about, and we'll probably revisit this topic so we don't have to go too deep of a dive into it. But obviously, The Last of Us becoming a very popular show very quickly. Based on the 2013 video game by Naughty Dog Studios that I just Googled. This is a new series on HBO. Only 3 episodes out so far, but I think over 5 hours of content so far. Like a 2-hour premiere. I think episode 3 was like an hour and a half long. How you feeling about the show so far?
I'm watching it. I'm liking it. I like the premiere. The second episode I didn't care as much for. And the third episode, well, it was beautiful, Travis. It was a beautiful episode. It was
heartbreaking.
The third episode was very, very good. I'm interested to see where they take it. I know that they're like the internet is like kind of back and forth on the third episode. I think for the most part, everyone's like, wow, like that was solid. Bill and Frank, those characters, focusing on them in that way was a great choice, and it's a departure from the game,
right?
but a lot of people are like Bill's interactions with Ellie in the game, we don't get that, but we're okay because this was a really good episode. I saw some like cringe, I'll say cringe take, where it's like, they're calling like exploitative and just like on the nose with like a gay relationship, and like, oh, if this is the kind of representation we get, then we don't need to represent. It was like a very bad take, and I think it was just like for clicks, but they got him.
I thought it was interesting hearing, I was watching the sort of after the episode, inside the episode type stuff, and I think one of the producers was talking about how if an idea is as good or worse than what's already in the game, they just go with what's in the game. But if they come up with an idea that's better than what's in the game, they pursue that idea. And I think that was sort of the rationale behind episode 3, is building out that relationship and exploring what survival looks like in that context over, you know, a couple of decades, really. I think that is really interesting. And I think it speaks to the thing that I like about The Last of Us that's different from like a Walking Dead or other zombie type content, is outside of maybe the second episode where they're, you know, walking through busted down Boston and trying to navigate through it. There's an intense scene where they fight the clickers, I think is what they call them, and they're hiding from zombies and stuff like that. And that to me feels more like a zombie show, but the rest of the show has really been about the relationships, the people, society, and commentary on what does that look like? How do people operate? What does trust look like? What does survival look like in a world that has gone through something like this? And so that to me, I think is the more appealing part of the show.
Yeah.
Is seeing the different aspects of that.
It feels far more character study. Walking Dead tried to be a character study, and I don't think it was as effective as the first three episodes of Last of Us have been as far as character studies go. The other thing, so I agree with you. The other thing that I would say is for me, what I appreciate about it and what's kind of refreshing is, you know, ultimately like the game is about Joel kind of coming to a point where he like loss and growing as a person and like getting over loss and growing in this post-apocalyptic world. The thing that always that got to me with The Walking Dead eventually is this pervasive cynicism that nothing is ever going to improve, and that no matter what, there's another threat just right around the corner that is going to take your city, your haven, your safe haven, and it's going to, whether it's another human or whether it's the zombies, whatever it is, it's going to demolish it and destroy it. And even if there's this the government who are kind of Nazis, even if they're there, there are still these smaller moments of people looking at each other, a sense of relationships that these people have, this history that people have. And in the third episode, it's two men coming together, finding each other in this apocalypse. One who's a survivor, who is a survival prepper, who's all he's ever wanted to do is survive. And then where that leads him towards the end of the episode. And that, like, it's not cynical. It's like he found purpose in all of this. And so that's like a key difference between those two concepts.
Yeah, if we've talked about this for 10 minutes and you have no idea what we're talking about.
Sorry.
you owe it to yourself to hop on HBO Max or visit a friend who's got an account and check out The Last of Us. The first three of 9 episodes are already out. It comes out Sunday nights. Pedro Pascal plays Joel, the lead from Mandalorian, and all the way back to Game of Thrones, where we also get Bella Ramsey, who plays Ellie, also a Game of Thrones alum. So, and Brandon is just now making that connection.
Just now making that connection. By the way, he is wonderful in the overwhelming weight of something talent, the Nicolas Cage movie.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
I Oscar nominations came out in the last week or so as well.
Oh,
which means I owe it to myself to catch up on some of the Best Picture nominees that I have not watched. Now I'm probably gonna have to like rent a bunch of them on streaming because they're gonna try and get their money out of me. but a lot of films nominated. So I have to check some of those out.
All right. Sounds good. For those who are listening to this show, if you heard anything that we were talking about, if you're interested about what's going on with Apathetic Enthusiasm Network or our development or Rick and Morty or submit for your approval, send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com, at apathusiast on Twitter. He's at Chuckomino. I'm at Barnyard Cruise on Twitter. You can hit us up that way. Let us know. Alternately, if you have thoughts about the DCU or the MCU, Quantumania coming up, let us know. And then, of course, what we just talked about with The Last of Us. Are you the last of yous? I don't know. Let us know. Tell us.
I don't know.
That's your CTA, as they say in the biz. You're
cool. As they say. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for hanging out with us for about an hour. And until next time, I'm Travis.
And I am Brandon. And let me figure out where this music is on this Rodecaster Pro 2. Goes by pretty quick.
You don't stop and look around. You might miss it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.